WXXI is looking back at the events and people that made news in 2018. WXXI's Juan Vasquez talks with Scott Feibusch about the year in political news.
Well, Scott, it's been a year of change at just about every level of government, and you were here to cover a lot of these transitions, and a lot of them were triggered by one big event that happened in March.
New York Democratic Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, the oldest member of Congress and the first woman to chair the powerful House Rules Committee, has died at the
age of 80. Hard to forget that day. And even if we all knew that Louise wasn't going to be with us forever, the question of who would be the heir to her seat went from a political parlor game to a very immediate reality. On the Republican side, Dr. Jim Maxwell had already been planning to run, and he had the field mostly to himself after Mark Assini decided not to join the race and instead headed off to private life.
But on the Democratic side, it got interesting for a while.
It sure did. That four-way primary race kept things really busy through the spring. Joe Morelli, Adam McFadden, Robin Wilt, and Rachel Barnhart all fought it out as much on personality as on policy, and there were times where it got a little bit heated.
Let's not slam the door shut on Louise Slaughter's legacy
of integrity. Bono County deserves representation that reflects the diversity of the 25th Congressional District.
This is the most important election in the history of our republic.
We deserve a candidate who believes in equal pay and not pay to play.
And when Joe Morelli won that primary pretty handily, that triggered a cascade of changes that went down the ticket.
And an overall loss of seniority for the area, too. Morelli, of course, was a big part of the Democratic leadership in the state assembly. Jamie Romeo went on to win the Democratic primary to replace him and then ran unopposed to go to Albany as a first termer. That meant the Monroe County Democratic Committee then needed a new leader to replace her. And Brittany Wells succeeded Romeo there and became the first African-American to lead the county party.
All right. So what about the Republicans? There was a high-profile assembly race there, too.
Oh, yes. The 133rd District, south of Rochester. Joe Arrigo came out of retirement to replace the late Bill Nojay. He lost his primary to challenger Marjorie Burns. Then in October, Arrigo was charged with accepting a bribe to submit a bill that would have affected a local development project. He stayed on the ballot as a third-party candidate, but it's Burns who is now headed to Albany in the assembly minority. And that bribery issue turned out to be bipartisan. There are also charges against Robert Scott Gatty. He's the Albany lobbyist who's been a big supporter of several local Democrats, including Assemblyman David Gant.
All right, so fast forward to November and the general election and one big change at the state level.
Yeah, that blue wave nationally swept through Albany, too. Democrats took clear control of the state Senate. The IDC, that splinter group of moderate downstate Democrats who caucused with Republicans and gave them control, nearly all of them lost their seats. But the change in control was mostly driven from downstate. It was a closer race than in the past for local Republicans in the Senate. But Rich Funke still beat out his challenger, Jen Lunsford, in the 55th.
We both ran positive campaigns. She ran a positive campaign, and I want to congratulate her tonight for doing that. But I'm thankful that I won, that's for sure.
And Joe Robach held on handily in the 56th District. At the top of the ticket, there wasn't much drama at all after the primary season. Cynthia Nixon put up a primary challenge to Governor Andrew Cuomo, but she fell short. Cuomo won the general election handily, and so did U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. And there was more scandal in the state attorney general's office. Abuse allegations forced Eric Schneiderman to resign. In April, Tish James won the Democratic primary. She will become the state's first African-American AG.
A lot of history that we've gone through so far. So what about the House races? There was some drama and some scandal there, too.
Not so much in the 25th, where Joe Morelli won handily over Maxwell. Republican incumbents John Katko and Tom Reed won easily, too. But then there was Chris Collins in the heavily Republican 27th District. He was nearly upended by a federal indictment on insider trading charges. Nate McMurray, the supervisor of Grand Island, saw an opening. National Democrats poured money into that seat after Collins decided to stay in the race and fight it out, even though party officials didn't want him to.
We maintain that, you know, we definitely had a crystal clear avenue to replace Congressman Collins on the ballot, but it's no longer in the best interests of his legal team and legal defense.
This seems to be crazy, and it took a while to sort out.
Oh, it sure did. This was the year of the recount nationally. This race was one of the ones that stayed in the spotlight until the numbers finally pointed to a very narrow win for Collins, and that means we have more drama yet to come as Collins waits it out before his trial in 2020.
All right, so the calendar's about to turn. Scott, look into your crystal ball. What do you see coming up in 2019?
How about a county executive race? Cheryl DeNolfo comes up for her first reelection bid next year. She turned down a run for lieutenant governor this year. Republicans have held that county executive seat now since 1992. She will try to take that streak into a fourth decade.
And some people may think they know who the opponent might be, so we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. Thank you, Scott Feibusch, WXXI Scott Feibusch, with a look back at the year in politics.